From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the ninth day of January 2009. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzolo of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with Bruce Bostert. He's the manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator Company out of Ludlow, Illinois. In agricultural news, farm state legislators are rallying the troops for a share of the Obama stimulus package. The final version of the COOL rule will soon be published. And just in case you thought the rest of the world was doing better economically than the U.S., South Korea has cut interest rates for the fifth time in 3 months. Dave Dickey will have details of these stories shortly, and then I'll have some 2009 forecast with University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good. The Closing Market Report on this Friday afternoon is a production, of course, of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Taking a look at the numbers as they settled in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. Futures in the wheat pit finished the nearby March contract 17 cents higher at 629.5. March futures, or May futures in the wheat pit at 642.25, up 16 and 3 quarters. In July at 653.25, up 17 cents. Kansas City finished the March 651, up 17 and 3 quarters. And the Minneapolis Grain Exchange lost 5 and 3 quarters for the nearby contract to settle at 625.25. From the corn pit in Chicago, March corn futures up 4 cents today, $4.10.75 the settlement price. May at 421.25, up 4 on the afternoon. In July, 431.5, up 4 cents. September corn, 441.25, up 3 and 3 quarters. And December futures, 454.25, up 4 for the day. Next year's March at 466, up 4. March oat futures up 7 cents at 230. January beans at $10.37.5, 48.5 cents higher for the day. March contract at 10.36, up 46.5. That's right. May futures 10.45.5, up 45.5. And July at 10.56.25, up 45.25. November beans up 36 cents at 10.42. January bean meal at $3.15.80, up $16.80. January bean oil up 98 at $36.50 on the afternoon. February live cattle, 83.10, a nickel. The loss, feeders Jans at 94.10, up 60. And Feb hogs at 62.45, up 2.5 cents for the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil trading at $40.83 a barrel, down 80 cents for the day. February contract there. Ethanol February is at $1.68.5, up 3 and 2 tenths of a cent. Natural gas trading at $5.53 and 3 tenths. That's 5 cents lower for the day. And the RBOB gasoline at $1.11 and 6 tenths, up 2 and 8 tenths. Heating oil, diesel fuel, $1.49 and 4 tenths, 2.5 cents lower. And the propane futures at 70 and 6 tenths of a cent, just about 3 tenths of a cent lower for the day. January gold futures at $854.30. finished 40 cents higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 86.67. It's just about 75 points lower on the day, and the U.S. dollar is currently at 82.69. That's up 1.08 for the afternoon. The CRB index at 230.01 is down 1.48, and the Goldman Sachs at 350.05 is up 2.73. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like. A winter weather advisory is in effect for far northern Illinois and extreme northwestern Indiana through early tomorrow morning, and in north central Indiana from late this evening until tomorrow afternoon. A winter storm warning will be in effect for northern Indiana through tomorrow morning. Tonight in the north, snow, heavy at times. Wind will cause some drifting, and in the northern sections of Indiana, snow mixed with freezing drizzle at times. In central Illinois, scattered showers arriving this evening, changing to snow overnight. In the south, rain, showers, possibly a few thunderstorms. Lows will range from 12 in northwestern Illinois to 40 in southeastern Illinois. Tomorrow, northwestern Illinois becoming partly sunny in northeastern and west central Illinois. Cloudy, flurries, light snow during the morning becoming partly sunny in the afternoon. You're listening to WILL.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. Time to check in on the agricultural futures markets and how they settled for the day and the week. On the line with us, Mike Zuzula of Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Mike.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Wow, what a day in Chicago. What happened in that bean pit to cause such gains?
Well, it clearly was the weather. I mean, it clearly is the force of the micro fundamental supply is real bullish. It's centered around beans because they have the best demand and they have the tightest supplies. One thing that really hasn't been talked about a lot in the news wires or up in Chicago but caught our attention earlier today were the estimates for the bean carryout. We did not think that most of the trade would lower their ending stocks by an average of 186 million bushels. That's what the Dow Jones average is. There's people out there like us that are at 161, but there's also people out there below 160, and there's quite a bit of a group that are in that 175 to 185 level for U.S. bean carryover. That compares to USDA's 205 last month. So between the greater number of exports and maybe the reduction in yield, there's a lot more camp, a lot more general thought, and a lot more in a camp that think that the ending stocks are going to be a lot lower. And I suspect that supply side issue is also being traded. So we close the week out now with this micro fundamental supply bullishness in corn, beans, and wheat, all three of them, against the macro fundamental demand starting to look more bearish with the economic reports, jobless reports, energy stocks report on the week looking pretty negative, all three of them. And that's something that we're probably going to have to see these two meet next week. And once they decide which way, who wins that battle, we'll probably establish a trend for the next 30 days, we suspect.
Well, tell me, how did you come up with a 161? Did you say exports were just off, or exports were that much higher for the year, or that there was that much less supply provided by the United States?
No, we left the demand alone for the most part. We tweaked it a little bit, Todd. Most of it came with almost a full bushel cut in yield. I think we're going back, since this is the January report, we're going back and trying to ante up and make amends with the crop conditions back in August. And some of the data we looked at would say you could have yields, a national yield as low as 35 bushels if you looked at the crop conditions during the month of August this past year. So we thought we'd come in and play it conservative and put it down there around the 38 bushel level and not take it much more than a bushel lower than USDA. So that's where we really came in lower.
Yeah, to be fair, this is a position you've had for quite some time, right?
That it has. It's been ongoing for about 6 months. We can't put them in the estimates with the news wires, with Dow Jones and Bloomberg, too quickly, though, because they'll literally drop us out because we would be outside the range of parameters with the other estimates. So we have to be very careful on how we put our numbers in each month with those people, or they'll just leave us out of the estimates. So
I understand that you believe that this is the case. How likely is it, do you think, that USDA, and boy, they've thrown some surprises at us in the past 3 or 4 years, this January report, which usually is pretty steady, has been a surprise year in and year out, and usually it's, well, the last 3 or 4 years, it's been a surprise that's pushed the market sharply higher.
I will say it this way. I think that if the USDA would look at crop conditions and also the tightness of available meal supplies and market-ready beans to crush here domestically, I think that's not just because farmers are holding back. I think it's because farmers don't have a lot of excess beans to sell into the market at this point. So I think the odds are greater than 50-50. I think they're probably 70-30, if I had to guess.
Hey, speaking of meal, did you take a look at that nearby January meal chart? That was something else.
That is a real, real key to this market and why the spreads have stayed so firm for, what, three and a half weeks now. Every dip that the beans have seen for the last 2 or 3 weeks, we've seen it get bought back, and it really goes back to the spreads in beans, which goes back to the strength in the meal and how tight the meal availability goes. It is right now, and it goes back to we're starting to see, from what I'm picking up with hog clients and cattle clients, we're starting to see a real tightness in DDGs, and the DDG price is really hanging in there firm. In essence, the cut in ethanol production and the lack of blending and unleaded is starting to fall back into the livestock sector.
Hold it. So what does that have to do with the meal? Anything or nothing?
Well, a lot of the livestock guys will try and mix DDGs if they can get it cheaper and mix it instead of some corn or some meal. And
right.
So if the DDG prices are going up because of a lack of availability, then they're going to have to be pushed back into meal and corn to make their livestock rations. And so that's one of the first things we've seen. This is the first time we've seen it ever since ethanol has become such a big player and DDGs have become such a big player in the livestock sector.
So that's one factor. How about the lower protein content? You would have thought that that would make meal worth less, but of course they have to use more of it in order to get the protein.
You know, I heard mixed reports by producers around the Corn Belt. I had heard a lot of guys say their protein levels were real, real good and their oil contents were real, real good. So I hadn't gotten a real strong impression or bias this year that the bean oil content or protein level was really that much weaker than normal.
Well, I had heard that from actually an operator.
Okay,
he was a guy out in Iowa, so and it was a pretty big firm out there, but they were concerned that the protein had dropped so much. But Western beans, I think, fluctuate far more than those out of Ohio, Indiana, and Illinois. So if you're talking with guys in those areas, maybe we haven't seen that much.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when I took a look at the yield based upon Eastern Belt and Western Belt, really Ohio and Indiana and parts of Kentucky suffered the most, it seemed like to me. And it did get into Illinois somewhat. But, you know, when you're talking about Western Ohio and Eastern Indiana getting into the mid to high 20s, those people that I talked to, those producers I talked to, said that they were getting fairly good oil content and good meal. But in the Western Belt, it could be a whole different thing.
Corn did not follow the beans higher. I suppose they dragged 4 cents out of them. But if you've got a 48-cent jump in January beans and 4 cent in March corn, it doesn't seem that they really want to move much higher.
No, and it's interesting because the trend line that we broke yesterday in March corn in the composite chart held as a resistance level after being tested several times today. Not only did we see that on a weekly basis, but the March corn versus, I think we closed around 412 and a quarter last week on the composite chart. That puts us down, actually, on the week when you look at it from that perspective. So corn is going into this report the stepchild, so to speak, because the trade realizes the demand is a real, real issue. The best thing corn had on its side this week, besides the weather in South American beans, was the low soft red winter wheat acres. Wheat really stood up strong today. I suspect corn would have been negative today on the day and much more negative on the week if the wheat wouldn't have turned around. But the soft red wheat average estimates for acres really stunned me. The average market, 9.3 million versus 11.2 last year. Probably doesn't stun you when you drive around because we can see a lot less wheat. But I think Chicago, between that acreage estimate and this very, very cold, bitter weather coming in with relatively light snowpack, that really helped the wheat. And so corn had a lot of friends this week. We'll see if it can keep that up next week.
We'll find out more on Monday morning.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend,
hey,
sir.
You too. Mike Zuzulo is with Risk Management Commodities Incorporated out of Lafayette, Indiana.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Dave Dickey, your Director of Ag Programming at this radio station, is here now with all the ag news for the day.
In agricultural news, Farm State members of Congress are mobilizing in an effort to see that rural America is not shortchanged in a new economic stimulus package. Senate Agriculture Committee Chairman Tom Harkin says he would like to see $2 billion dedicated to building and improving sewer and water treatment facilities in small towns. Others are proposing installation of high-speed internet service and providing more federal dollars for road and bridge improvements in rural areas. And there's some talk of governmental guaranteed loans for farmers who otherwise would not qualify for operating loans and providing additional money for watershed repairs and construction. The U.S. will soon publish the final version of country of origin meat labeling rules that are being challenged by Canada and Mexico as a violation of world trade rules. USDA Secretary Ed Schaefer says he signed the final rule on Thursday afternoon. Deputy Agriculture Secretary Chuck Connors says that the text would be published in coming days in the Federal Register. USDA officials declined to say whether the final rule differs from the interim rule. The interim rule required country of origin labels on meat sold in U.S. grocery stores with a six-month window for retailers to comply. And South Korea's central bank cut its key interest rate Friday for the fifth time in just 3 months to help shore up the country's sagging economy. The Bank of Korea lowered the benchmark seven-day repurchase rate to 2.5% from an already record low 3% at a regular policy meeting on Friday. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL Public Radio for the Farming World. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Market Report and of Commodity Week. That second program you can hear on our website after about 6 o'clock this evening, Central Time. Please stay tuned for it. If you get the opportunity, our panelists in studio will be Jackie Vakes of the Stuart Peterson Group, Pete Manhart of Bates Commodities, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group. Our guests this week on Commodity Week, Mark Gold of Top Third. Should be a good program. We'll post it to the website at WILLAG.org after 6 o'clock this evening. Don't forget, while you're on the website, to go ahead and sign up for our free weekend newsletter. Been on hiatus for a bit over the holidays. Should start back up this weekend. I know Dave Dickey's been hard at work at that one. And then, of course, he'll be in this chair next week as I'm back out on the road with the corn and soybean classic series of meetings. That's the crop production and protection meetings with the specialist from the Crop Sciences Department here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. It's a great program. We had about 350 to 400 farmers over 2 days this week in Mount Vernon and Champaign. And next week we'll be in Bloomington on Monday at the Interstate Center, Tuesday at the Crown Plaza in Springfield, the Iowa Wireless Center in Moline on Wednesday. And then we'll wrap up next week on Thursday in Malta at Kishwaukee College, not too awfully far from DeKalb, Illinois. That's the Corn and Soybean Classics. Walk-ins are welcome at $65 at the door. Arrive by about 8:30 a.m. in the morning at one of those four sites. You can learn all the details at our website. The address is willag.org. Just hit calendar and then look for the link to the Corn and Soybean Classic inside that calendar on each of those dates. I hope to see you there. Now, speaking of the Corn and Soybean Classic series, one of the folks that will be along with us is Darrell Good. You know, last quarter of 2008, he says, was a bad one on the farm, though it's unlikely to have a great impact on most producers' bottom line for the last harvest season. It does, though, do a bit of forecasting, says Dr. Good, for the coming crop year. 2008 was a bad year for the economy, but a pretty good year, maybe even a record good year for most Midwestern farmers. That's likely to change next year, and the fourth quarter of 2008 cast a lot of doubt on the profitability of the farm in 2009, says University of Illinois Extension Ag economist Darrell Good. It started with a tumble to lower prices, though they would have been considered very high prices in a previous era.
Right. We did go in the cash market sub $3 corn at the bottom. And as I mentioned, I think briefly, soybeans under $8 a bushel. And as you point out, historically, we would have considered those to be good prices. But in the new higher cost regime that we're now in, those were at that level were certainly below break even for many producers. So there was a bit of a panic at that point, and some folks began to forecast even much lower prices. I even saw some analysts talking about LDP payments maybe on corn, that way we're going to get that cheap. And farmers did respond by saying, look, this is probably undervalued. Let's not panic sell at this point. Let's store it. We did see a lot of movement of both corn and soybeans into the CCC loan program, saying that's a relatively low-cost way to finance holding this inventory. And so we kind of end the year, I think, seeing some price strength based on that holding, certainly some basis strength as farmers are holding pretty tight. But also thinking, you know, we're now back to prices that are a little more reasonable in terms of value, and really questioning how much additional strength we might expect here in the next month or two, perhaps thinking that prices have leveled out a bit for now.
Leveled out, but with room for some peaks. Darrell Good is hopeful a $5 price tag can be seen in the corn market and $10 for soybeans. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Hey, did you happen to miss the closing market report or maybe the opening market report and couldn't get to the website? Well, there's another way you can get to it as well. You can listen to it on the telephone line. The number is 217-333-3434. We take a small portion of what we air on the radio station, and we put it right there on the telephone line. You can hear it at 10:30 and 3:15 daily at 217-333-3434. You're listening to the Closing Mark Report. It is a Friday afternoon. Bruce Bostard is with us today to take a look at what's been happening in the world of agricultural cash grains. He's the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevator, and it's 10 elevators across central Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Bruce.
Good afternoon.
Hey, tell me about how cash grain and basis has been holding up.
Well, cash grain has not been holding up all that badly, or basis hasn't been holding up all that badly, considering the amount of grain we've been selling on these big pop days. Pretty good cash movement. I would say relatively heavier on soybeans than corn, but we've been buying both basically nearby, mostly out of storage type grain, stopping the storage bill and turning it into cash. Logistically, we've been seeing some receipts off farm. We're kind of working that tightrope between roads being solid enough to drive on and things not being so darn cold, nothing will run.
So emptying out the elevator, but not the bin in that case.
Pulling some out of the bin, which is a good thing to get these things cored. A lot of corn got put away wet, and I'm afraid that, you know, if we don't see some bins get cored and moved in, that we're going to see a lot of damage come springtime. So we're seeing a little bit come in off of that. We're seeing some cash selling, you know, just out of storage. Logistically, it's always interesting this time of year. Illinois River barge freight popped up again today. It's trading like $4.75. We've seen some demand pull on the market on barge freight with cash movement, and this cold weather forecast for next week should really slow down the supply side.
Anything else that we ought to be keeping our eye on as we head into the month of January here?
Not a whole lot. I'm getting a lot more calls, starting to take a look at some new crop levels. Not so much selling, but I think some plans getting formulated out there.
Speaking of that, what are your bids for the day?
We are $3.91 on nearby corn, $4.14 on new crop, beans $10.18, and $9.75.
Bruce, thanks much.
Thank you.
Bruce Bostard is the general manager of the Ludlow Co-op Elevators, 10 elevators across central Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report on a Friday afternoon. Jim Angel, state climatologist with the Illinois State Water Survey, will be here in 2 minutes to take up the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us.
It's National Apricot Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1788, Connecticut became the fifth state in the Union. The tiny state suffered under the Articles of Confederation. Faced with heavy import duties to New York, Connecticut found it difficult to rebuild its economy after the war. In 1843, William Headley died, an English coal mine manager. He was a pioneer in the building and design of steam locomotives that featured simple friction between wheels and rails instead of geared track. He patented his idea on March 13th of 1813, and later that year, his locomotive, Puffing Billy, began to pull coal on a 5-mile line. The engine remained in service till 1864. In 1858, Elizabeth Gertrude Knight Britton was born, an American botanist. Her efforts were a major factor in the establishment of the New York Botanical Gardens. In 1914, Henry Ford established the unheard-of sum of $5 a day minimum wage in his factories. The wage at the time was just $2.34 for a 9-hour shift. Ford not only doubled the wage, he cut an hour off the workday. And in 1992, Hans Jenny died, a Swiss agricultural chemist. He developed numerical functions to describe soil in terms of five interacting factors: climate, organisms, relief, parent material, and time. His book, Factors of Soil Formation, published in 1941, is a classic. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Time to check in on the agricultural weather forecast. The state climatologist, Jim Angel, now joins us from the Illinois State Water Survey right here in Champaign County. Good afternoon to you, Jim.
Good afternoon.
I was taking a look at some of the press releases coming out of your office, and it appears that there was one discussing how wet 2008 might have been, and it was a wet one.
That's right. It's probably no surprise to anybody that's listening that 2008 was the second wettest year on record. We darn near had 51 inches, which is about a little over 11 inches above normal. And the only year that was wetter was 1993, and they had 51.2 inches. So we just missed it by about a half an inch there of being the wettest ever. And well, that's one of the kind of records you don't really want to break. But, yeah, so very wet year. Also very cool year. We had very cool temperatures this summer, and overall it was about a degree below the long-term average, or what we call normal. So it's the 18th coolest year on record as well. And that, again, is not too surprising. With that much rain and cloudiness, we just didn't see the really warm weather this year.
You know, what's a normal year like then?
Yeah,
normal rainfall.
For rainfall, it's it's a little closer to about 40 inches. It ranges from about 48 inches in far southern Illinois to about 36 inches up around far northern part of the state. So that would be kind of our normal amount of rainfall. So most every place was well above that this year.
And then is there much difference between 93 and this year in terms of, and I know there is, and when that rain fell and how widespread the rainfall was across the state, and then maybe across, and this would be more climatologically across the Midwest, because it was certainly a different type of flooding situation this year than 1993.
That's right. Yeah, this year was a lot different. 93, they were pretty similar early on in the spring and up through June. They were of similar intensity there. Really, fortunately for us this year, things after mid-June, we stopped getting the heavy rains, whereas in 93, they continued on into July, and that led to much more extensive flooding. The other thing is that in 93, we had not only heavy rains in Missouri, Iowa, and Wisconsin, Illinois, but there was rain all across the Midwest and in the high plains. So we had the Illinois River in flood stage, the Mississippi, and the Missouri River were all at flood stage and beyond. So much larger area was flooded in 93 than we saw this year. This year was very short and intense, but it wasn't quite as catastrophic as 93 was.
And it only left us about 30 seconds. We have a winter storm warning in effect for northern Illinois and Indiana, and then it's going to get really cold.
That's right. Yeah, all the models and all the forecasters are expecting all that cold air coming out of the Alaska this week. It's going to make its way down into Illinois.
All right. Thanks much, Jim.
You're welcome.
Jim Angel is with the Illinois State Water Survey, where he serves as the state climatologist. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report. Be sure to visit our website and listen to Commodity Week. It'll be posted after 6 this evening at willag.org. That's WILLAG. agriculturalnews.org. Have a great afternoon.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.